continuing last week's argument. We'll start something new. We're in the middle. Last week, if you want, at our sheets here, and the sheets are very useful because we're going to see, what I want to show you is how the Haggadah, so much of the Haggadah, almost all of the Haggadah is not stolen, borrowed from different pieces of Chazal. Okay, we're going to see that after the section we did last week about Maaseh Bar Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua, we're going to see that the very next section is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah taken right out of the Gemara and Brachot, out of the Mishnah and Brachot. And we're going to read it, and then we're going to learn the Gemara afterwards and try to figure out what in the world is going on. What are the Baalei Haggadah doing here? So last thing, just to recall, last week, before we got into our big fight, we talked about the... We read the Maaseh, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, the Rabbanim that were in Bnei Brak, and we spoke about the need for the Haggadah to be an experiential event. that the key, the essence of the Haggadah, and this I said to the men also on Sunday, is you have to experience something, you have to feel something. It's not just an intellectual exercise. It's something that has to be part of who you are. It has to be something that you do, that you remember. You know, we were just... can I share my suggestion that I want to do for our Seder?
Yes.
This year, I saw somebody sent out, there's a new Ben & Jerry's flavor called Charoset. Right? I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah.
So I told Rina, I want to serve... The Kosher Pesach, yeah.
Awesome.
I want to serve Charoset after the matzah, before the maror.
The ice cream.
Okay. And I said, the kids will go crazy. They'll remember, like, you know, there's nothing different than, like, serving ice cream in the middle of the Seder. What are you, crazy? That's right. That's the point. The point is...
It's for Mara.
Ben & Jerry's is selling only in Israel. Is that if you want to know another reason to move to Israel?
Okay, it's not Charoset flavored. It has
Charoset in it. It's vanilla ice cream with Charoset. So you don't have to have it. We're serving it.
I love Charoset.
So the purpose of the Seder, remember, so much of what we do is to get the children to ask. Nothing will get them to feel like, wow, like that'll be ice cream before dinner. And you know what I'm saying?
We've also had this with all the locusts.
Yes.
Like, the timing is just so awesome. Like, they can have a visual. I don't know if you guys walked
around. We saw some locusts.
Yeah. It's like now they have a visual of
what the locusts
are. I can imagine.
Exactly.
Who knows? But they had like that. I think imagine swarms and swarms and swarms and swarms. Yeah. Gross. Okay. So.
Without pesticides.
Without pesticides. You know, it's interesting.
Just turn on the grill.
Anyway.
They say they're kosher ones.
Yeah, they are. They say they are kosher. And they actually know which ones are kosher. Yeah, they do.
Let them land on the grill.
Enjoy. Do me a favor. If you cook it on your grill, burn out your grill before you invite me over. Okay. Right after that, so they said, Achubotam Yamru Rabutainu. So it's interesting. Let's just read this the text again. Maaseh Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tamash, Rabbi Misibib ben Bnei Brak. Vahu Mistaprim Biyitziyat Mitzrayim Kol Oto Halayla. That language, that phrase, it just grabs me every time I read it. During that whole night. Okay? And now we're going to see that there's this juxtaposition between night and day, dark and light. And this is going to follow into the theme that I've been developing over the last week and probably my entire teaching career. Okay, what is Oto HaLaila? What are the themes of night and day as they relate to Pesach? And we're going to see a couple of Gemara that relate to this as well. All of that night. What's that night? So in the face value, it's Pesach night. But that night, it has to be something more. It has to be something deeper. That long night. And then until the students came and said, Rabotenu higi azman kriyat shema shel shacharit. Right? That they didn't realize that it was day. That the time has come for kriyat shema of the day. That there's something that was missing in them and that they didn't realize and they didn't recognize that the day had come. That the day had... Oh, things that you... Right. Yeah. You mean the one stuff people say at the Seder, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I recognize some of it from our old Seder. Okay.
There was a whole discussion on this in Torah this past week.
About?
On this paragraph. And they said,
yeah.
The discussion was basically that it didn't happen during Pesach time. Because if it happened at Pesach, why are they separated from their students? Where are their wives? It goes against the idea of teaching the children. Like, they wouldn't be secluded by themselves. The idea was this was during the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, and they wanted to speed along the times of Mashiach, and by recounting the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim, they were hoping to bring Mashiach closer.
Very good. Okay, so, I mean, I don't know, I actually think it's hard to say that it's not talking about Lil Pesach at all, because then why are we mentioning it?
There were many other...
Do you remember who wrote it? You don't know who said it?
I have to
quote the name of the person who said it.
Mr. Bin.
Right? Are you misubin b'mega? Right, the reclining. Why would they be reclining?
Well, this also said that they were like, why did they not see the sun that they were hiding out in the basement? They, you know, why was Rabbi Akiva sitting? Why was he sitting when he was the youngest?
There's
the
so kids? Many
There's
different
like
parts. I mean,
different things that they went on in this, and they came back that it was because they were like.
I actually, maybe I'll share this with you. I have to find
it.
Oh, you have it. There we go.
I didn't mean
it. Oh, so fine. I'll share. Actually, if you want, maybe I'll share this. I'll share it on the group. And when I was a rabbi in Hartford, Connecticut, I had a member named, his name is, should live and be well, his name is Leon Kamaides. Leon Kamaides was a world-renowned pediatric cardiologist. He was hidden during the Holocaust in a monastery as a child. And then he made his way to America after his parents were killed. His father was a rabbi of a shul, I don't remember where, do you remember where he said the rabbi was? Somewhere in the European, in between Germany and Poland, there was these interim communities. And his rabbi was very interesting, his father was interesting. His father was a very liberal rabbi. Like, you don't realize that the streams that we have today existed back then just as well, without a doubt. Judaism doesn't change. His father was among the rabbis pushing for liberalism among the Jewish community. And he wrote an essay about this theme, about the suffering of the Jewish people. And he wrote an essay about how each individual of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar and Azar, each one had, he's told a story in the Gemara, but each one had suffered. Each one had been degraded. Each one had, you know what I'm saying? And they were sharing their misery. And nonetheless, they spoke about the idea of redemption. I'll share with you a very beautiful, very powerful essay that he wrote about that, you know, because his father wrote these essays in like the Jewish news. You know what I'm saying? In the whatever Polish Jewish news, wherever he was living. And Leon put them together in a book. Maybe I'll send him an email and see if he can send it to me again. Okay. Yeah, you found it. Who said it?
Rabbi Chaim Sprecher.
Okay. And he says...
Rabbi Yeshiva.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have time to read it now. You could say... I just wanted where he says that it wasn't at night. Anyway, I don't...
I didn't say it wasn't at night.
It wasn't that night. It wasn't the Seder night. Okay. Then we have Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Hare ani kiven 70 shana velo zachiti sheteyamer yetziat Mitzrayim balelot ad shedrasha ben Zoma. What's that? Okay, this unusual story does not appear anywhere in the Talmud of the Midrash. It appears in the Haggadah. Some scholars offer the explanation that this story isn't describing a Seder on Pesach night, but rather this meeting took place on a different night during the Bar Kokhba rebellion. The story was preserved by memory until it finally was included in the Haggadah. Which then you'd have to ask, and I'm sure he answers, what in the world is this story doing here, and why is it on Seder night? Which actually dovetails beautifully into the theme that we spoke about last week, about the idea of the Haggadah being a look to the future, a look to the redemption after the destruction, and Jewish suffering. But, you know, I want to...
How did they choose what's in the Haggadah?
How did they choose? Who chose?
Who chose?
Right.
Who wrote the Haggadah?
Val Haggadah. One gets a sense. I don't think that there's any one answer to your question. My sense is that much of it was put together by Chazal and Knesset Agdola, vast majority of it. Clearly, I spoke to somebody yesterday who's the head of the Eretz Yisrael department in Orot. And I asked him, can you send me information about what the Haggadah that he spoke about last week? What was the Haggadah that they used? What was the text that they used in the times of the Beit HaMikdash? He said it would look for me. But I think it's some Anshei Knesset HaGedola plus different things make their way in over time. You know what I'm saying? Shvoch HaMatcha clearly wasn't said until the Middle Ages. Like that, you know what Shvoch HaMatcha I'm referring to? Like after we bench, before we open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi, there's this paragraph, this very bitter, very angry paragraph. Shvoch HaMatcha al HaGoyim. Pour out your wrath on the nations that don't know you. It's very, 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 very harsh. And it clearly comes after probably pogroms. You know, I'd have to look into it. But it's clearly like, you know, added on later on. It wasn't the whole language.
You can't add on that.
Yeah, people do. Who's going to stop me? You know what I'm
saying?
It's not like Shemona Esrei, where you can't add and can't subtract. You know, there's a framework. What do you want to add? You know what I'm saying? You have to ask yourself what you want to add and why you want to add it. What's that?
A little tweet. Paragraph
that
you have to look for.
They have another. They add a fifth cup?
They have a whole text that they wrote about a fifth cup.
About Eretz Israel.
About,
right. The Haveti. Right. We've spoken about that. I remember we spoke about it like I think a few months ago. That it wasn't the Haveti and the Netziv. We did talk about that. Okay. Amar Lezer ben Azariah, Re'aniki ben 70 shana. I am like, I'm 70 years old. I didn't merit that Yitziat Mitzrayim should be said at night until Ben Zoma darshened it, extrapolated it from the text. Shneemar, as it says, "Leman tizkor et yom tzeitcha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha." That's the pasuk. Leman tizkor, so that you should remember the day of your exodus from Egypt, all of the days of your life. So now the Gemara, we're going to do it like it's a mishnah, it's an extrapolation. Yemei chayecha, quote. Yemei Chayecha, then you put a dash. What does the word Yemei Chayecha refer to? Hayamim, days. And then, Kol Yemei Chayecha. So why does it say all the days of your life? Halelo. The Gemara does this all the time. It says, they can look at the verse. Why does it say Kol Yemei Chayecha? To include, the word Kol seems extra. I know you have to say this paragraph during the day. Why? How do I know you have to say it at night? Because the word Kol Yemei Chayecha. V'chachamim omrim, Yemei Chayecha ha'olam hazeh. Kol yemei chayecha lahavi limot haMashiach. So the word kol is added to include the days of Mashiach. So first we have to understand what is this mission talking about. First we'll understand this, just the simple text. Well, lahavi in Gemara means correct. 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 Lahavi limot haMashiach. Very good. Yeah, that's a very Reb Cookian thing. We'll come to at the end. First we have to understand what's the mission talking about. Then we have to ask a very simple question: what's it doing here? And then finally we'll have to ask the third question, which is, what does it mean for us? Okay? First question, what's going on? Te'amer yitziat Mitzrayim ba'alelo. So if you'll notice on the page that I gave you, look at the bottom. See if you recognize the text. This is a Mishnah in Brachot. It appears on Daf Yud Bet. I'm going to read you from the Gemara itself. I'm reading from the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Maskiri yitziat Mitzrayim ba'alelot. You don't have that, do you? You have that here. Maskirin, right in the bottom. See, this text that I gave you actually is just a photocopy from the Ein Yaakov. What is Ein Yaakov? Just for your information, Ein Yaakov is the Gemara without any of the halacha. It's all the Agada in the Gemara. Ein Yaakov used to be what the women used to learn. You know, we used to teach the Agada to the women. That was like Ein Yaakov Shirin for the women or whatever. I don't know why they stopped. They should still do it. Agada is so rich and beautiful and unbelievable. We give it to the men now when they come on Sunday night.
So this is Agada.
It's Agada, right? Agada Ein Yaakov, but it's actually a misnomer because Ein Yaakov is the commentary on the Agada written by Rabbi Yaakov ibn Habib. Okay, the actual Ein Yaakov itself, the text in the middle, is Gemara. You're just reading straight from the Gemara. I'm reading you. So what does it mean, Maskirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot? The Mishnah says, we mention the Exodus from Egypt at night. This is referring to the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema. As we all know, when we say Shema, there are three paragraphs. Shema, V'hayayim Shamoa, and what's the third one? Shema, V'hayayim V'havit V'hafta, that's called Shema. V'hayayim Shamoa, what's the third paragraph? Third paragraph, everyone? Anyone? I know. V'yomer Hashem HaMashalimor. Tebrei Avnei Yisrael Vatzeh V'asulem Tzitzit. Okay, that's the third paragraph. Everybody knows that Shema has three paragraphs in it, right? We all know that. Except, of course, it didn't. What you don't realize is these are three separate paragraphs from three separate sections in the Torah that have literally nothing to do with each other. The first and the second are very connected. If you look at the text, you ever have been like saying Shema and you don't know if you're in the first one or the second one? Right? Am I in the first one or the second one? The reason why you feel that is because those are really inherently connected. Right? The first one is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's called O Malchut Shemayim. We accept the yoke of heaven upon us, and the tzitzit, and then tefillin and mezuzah, beautiful stuff. The second one is called Schar Va'onesh. The second one is basically keep the mitzvot, or I will slam you. Right? Okay, that's the second one. What's the third one? Plus tzitzit. It's really tzitzit. Vasulam tzitzit, alkabei v'nem, that's a tzitzit, blah, 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 blah. And then at the end of the paragraph, there's a little part about Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Hotzeiti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim Liyod Lachem L'Elohim. It's called Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's very interesting. So there's a mesh of two different topics, and we mention both. Okay, so it's clear in the Mishnah that we have to say that third paragraph in the morning. Everybody knows you have to say that third paragraph during the day. Why? Because the topic is Tzitzit, and it says in Tzitzit Uri'ite Amoto, you shall see them. Just so you know, tzitzit, the Gemara says, the halacha is, the mitzvah tzitzit is during the day. Right? You don't have to wear tzitzit at night, or you don't have to wear, if your pajamas don't have to have tzitzit. If you would wear a beged laila, they wouldn't have to have tzitzit. We'll just leave it at that. So then the question then becomes, well, if the whole mitzvah of tzitzit is during the day when one can see, do I have to recite this paragraph at night? Must I or must I not? Everybody understand the question? Right. Meaning, in the times of the Mishnah, it wasn't clear that when they said Ma'ariv at night, they said three paragraphs of Shema. They only said two. You know, things that are obvious to us, because that's what's in the Siddur. There's a reason why it's in the Siddur. It's in the Siddur because it was debated. Okay, so do you have to say the third paragraph or night or not? So the Gemara says, yes. Maskirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot. We mention Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. You must say this paragraph during Ma'ariv. Okay? But it's a matter of debate. It's not clear. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hare ani kiven shivim shana. Behold, I am like I am 70 years old. Anybody know what this refers to? Anybody ever heard this story?
Yeah.
It's very important to know this story. Okay? This story, this is an allusion. And the reason why it's so important to read this is right out of the Haggadah. I'm reading out of the Haggadah. I am like I am 70 years old. Why was he like he was 70 years old?
He was really young.
He was really young, right? So why was he like he was 70? Correct. I'll tell you the story. Just tell you the story very briefly. Gemara says later on in Bracha, the Gemara says that there was a Nasi named Rabban Gamliel. And Rabban Gamliel ruled with an iron fist. And he actually comes out as the villain in the story, but the reason why he did is clear. He has very, very good motivations for dealing the way he does. And he very much felt that if too much debate was allowed, if there was too much dissension, there was no way to ensure the continuity of Jewish law. Because if everybody does what everybody wants, then how do you have a unified halacha? Anybody sound familiar? Anybody? I was just giving a shiur yesterday to my students in Orot about the very volatile topic of Kol Isha, and a lot of the girls are saying, like, it just seems like nowadays, like, I know a rabbi, you know a rabbi, everybody's a rabbi. How are we supposed to know what to do? Everybody has their own practice. So Rabban Gamliel was very well aware of this problem. It's a big problem. So they had a debate about whether you had to say Ma'ariv or not. It's called is Arvit Rishut Achova. Must one daven Ma'ariv or not? You know, Shachrit, Mincha, we know. Ma'ariv? Not clear. Debate. So this Rabban Gamliel said, yes, you got to say Ma'ariv. And Rabbi Yehoshua wasn't the Nasi, was going around telling people, I don't know, I don't think so. So they're in the middle of the shiur, in the middle of the, you know, Rabbi Gamliel's giving shiur, and there's like all the Rabbanim around, they're all sitting around him. And Rabbi Gamliel gets up and says, okay, everybody knows that you got to say Arvit is a chova. And somebody raises his hand and says, you sure about that? I heard somebody say Rishut. And he said, who said that? Rabbi Yehoshua said it. So he says, Rabban Gamliel, in the middle of the shiur, everyone says, Yehoshua, you said that? Stand up. Yehoshua stands up and he says, did you say it or not? And Rabbi Yehoshua says, can't deny it. Yeah, I think it's a reshut. I don't think it's a chovah. And Rabban Gamliel says, really? He starts giving the shiur and Rabbi Yehoshua is still standing. And he doesn't let him sit down. And he embarrasses him publicly. He makes a show out of it in order to show, don't you dare go against the Nasi ever again. And the Shia was going on. There's
no
votes.
Like a majority. No, there's a majority. There's a halachic process. It's not a decision made by one person.
The fascinating issue is at what point does the dissenter have to stop and say, this is the accepted stock?
No, but isn't
and
there,
you have to. You have
there
to.
A concept of majority?
Of course, there's a concept of majority. But they're not,
so
you know,
where's the vote?
It's like legislation. It's like the United States Congress.
The
Speaker
vote?
Of the House does not bring it to the floor. There is no vote yet. What do you mean there's a vote? Like, halacha, I mean, there's chachamim, there's a da'at yachid. We do honor the da'at yachid. But I think the point was that he continued, everybody knew his position, but he was articulating his position as normative law. Now, you can do what I say. You don't have to say it. It's very difficult. That's what we have now. The balagan we have now is not what it's supposed to be. Could you imagine, think about this. In halacha, it's like accepted. Could you imagine in Israeli law, what does it mean when you get to a stop sign? Well, it means you have to stop. Unless you follow the position of the Bayit Yehudi, which it means you only have to yield. And so you get into an accident. Who are they going to charge you? Whose fault is it? I hold like Bayit Yehudi. I don't hold that you have to stop at a stop sign.
You should change the stop sign from the symbol of the hand.
That's yield. That's a yield sign. Right, anyway. You understand what I'm saying? Can you bet? Like, the things that we accept as normative practice are crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like... You do this and I do that. I don't need your house. You don't need my house. Imagine if we tried to run a country that way.
Well,
try to run a community that way.
Well
said. Anyway, we are trying to run a country that way. That's exactly the point. Okay. So he may embarrass him, and the people were upset with his heavy handedness. The scholars in the yeshiva, in the forum, in the quorum, whatever, they became brutally upset. Until the point where they shouted Rabbi Gamliel down and said, "We're not going to let you continue to speak. Enough is enough. You can't treat Rabbanim this way. You know, you have a point, whatever. We got to find a new Nasi." Can you imagine? There was a coup. We got to find a new Nasi. We have to replace him. So they said, "Who should we pick?" So they said, "Rabbi Akiva is a good choice." No, he's not a good choice. He doesn't have yichus. He doesn't have, you know what I'm saying? Rabbi Yeshua is poor.
He was very politically involved.
Controversial. Very politically involved.
Politically controversial.
Yes. Rabbi Yeshua was poor. Rabbi Yeshua was not a candidate because he didn't have enough money. You have to be a powerful person. You want to be a leader. You can't be someone who
be good-looking and rich.
That's right. You do.
Why can't the money come from others?
Why do you think Naftali Bennett did so well? Why do you think he did so well? He did so well because he was charismatic, of course. He's a good leader, but also because people looked at him and said, "This guy made $140 million selling his. He's got to be successful."
Bloomberg.
Welcome to the world, Mitt Romney, Lahavdil. You know what I'm saying? What's that? Anyway, yeah. Okay. So they said, "Who should we choose? Elazar ben Azariah." Great. There's only one problem with Elazar ben Azariah. He's 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They said, whatever. It reminds me of what I used to say when I became the rabbi of the Young Israel of Oak Park. I was 30, and they looked at me and they go, "When I first got there, they're like, 'You're really young.'" I said, "Well, they don't call it Young Israel for nothing." So a member of mine used to say, "Don't worry, youth is a what's called a mum over. It's a blemish that goes away with time." Yeah. Yeah. So that, I mean, so there's a history of this. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was chosen at 18. So they asked him, "Do you want the job?" He said, "Hold on, I got the Gemara says a beautiful piece of Gemara." The Gemara says, "I got to go ask my wife." So he asks his wife.
I was going
to
ask my mother.
No. Sorry, at 18 he'd been married for 5 years. You know? Yeah, of course. He'd been married for 5 years. So he says, "I got to go ask my wife." His wife says, "You know they're going to fire you. You know they're going to give Rabbi Gamliel his job back." And he said there's something beautiful. He said, "If somebody gave you the option of having a beautiful vase in your house, but you could only have it for a week, would you do it? Would you take it?" And of course you would.
Why not?
He said, "Right, why not?" So take the job. And then in the end, they didn't fire him. They gave Rabbi Gamliel the job back. He said he had 3 weeks. They did it in shifts. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had it for 1 week. It's very, very fascinating. The Gemara says that night, a miracle happened, and his beard turned white. The strands of his beard turned white. And that's what Rabbi Gamliel used to say, "Hare ani kiven shivim shana." As if I am 70 years old. You know what I'm saying? So then he says that, but the problem is like this. Every time Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah shows up in the Gemara, he doesn't say it. Like, okay, we get the point. Whoop-de-doo, move on. We know you're 18. Why mazel tov? But here, it appears in the context of the Mishnah. And it appears in the context of the Haggadah, which leads us to obviously wonder, why is this detail relevant to this discussion? What?
The very end of
Birkat Mason. Becomes a Kanti?
Yes, I'm not referring to the same.
Not referring to this. No, referring to this. No. Different, it's a quote from a pasuk. Nariti Beloiti Tzadik Ne'ezav. Derech Agad, that reminds me of Leon of Neokamaides. We say in the end of Birkat Hamazon, I was young, and I became old, and I never saw a righteous person be abandoned. And Leon told me he could never bring himself to say that at the end of Benjamin. He just can't say it. Right. He just couldn't say it. He wouldn't say it. Just reminded me of him again. Anyway, I should send him this year. I keep talking about it.
What? Is relevant to the one he's trying to say.
Why?
He said, "Until now, I haven't said it."
Until when? I was meant, the more I think about this statement, the more ridiculous it seems to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's backwards.
Hare
ani kiven shivim shana. It says, if I am 70 years old, but nonetheless, I didn't merit that I understood what should be said until Ben Zoma said it. But it sounds like he's saying the exact opposite of what he said. Meaning, what he really should say is, Hare ani shmona asei shana, I'm only 18, and that's why I could never understand Yetziat Mitzrayim until Ben Zoma said it. And like this idea of...
Maybe he's trying to say it in terms of wisdom, though.
What? Right, so what I'm trying to say is, I think that what he's saying is, when he says, Hare ani kiven shivim shana, he can't say, I'm just a kid. Because he's the Nasi. But so I think he's backwards. That when he says, kiven shivim shana, when he says, Hare ani kiven shivim shana, I think that's his way of saying, I'm just a kid. And for this reason, I don't have the wisdom of a Ben Zoma. That's the only thing I can
think of.
Because it's backwards. Velo zachiti. Even though I'm 70, I couldn't understand until. Like, really? You're only 18. We know you're only 18. What is the fact that your beard turned white have anything to do with what you understand or don't understand?
He's saying, I have the wisdom of a 70-year-old.
He doesn't
really
say that.
I'm as smart as a 70-year-old.
That's what you think that's what he's trying to say?
He's not as old as a 70-year-old, and everybody knows that he's not as old as a 70-year-old.
But he has the wisdom.
He has the wisdom of a 70-year-old, even though I'm so smart.
But then would you say that and say use that to say, even though I'm so smart, I still had no idea what this man said until Ben Zoma came and said it?
Yeah.
I like to learn from anybody. I'm the Nasi. I'm like this. You know, I am the top. I'm this guy who's so smart.
You don't think it's something as a joke to say, I'm 70 years old, and all the guys are saying, really?
Why is he?
Can you imagine us today? I know, but why highlight? I'm 70 years old. Really? Really? You know you're not. We know you're not. It's a nice miracle happening.
You've chosen me. You look at me like somebody wise and educated and knowledgeable. But look. But I
can
learn from Ben Zoma. I can learn.
Okay, fine. I don't know. I think it's I think it's his code. I've come to the conclusion that it's his code for saying I'm just a fissure, and that's why I couldn't understand. And I never understood until Ben Zoma said.
I don't think you should say something mutually
explicit. You have every right to disagree with me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, zachiti should now we get to the crux of the argument. Well, zachiti should tell our Mary siyam mitzvah ba'leilot ad shedrasha Ben Zoma. And what was the drasha? What is the word, focusing on the word, kol yemei chayecha? You should remember Mitzrayim. You have to remember. You have to say, Vayomer Hashem, and Ani Hashem Asher Atzeiti Etchem Me'eretz Yitzrayim. I am the Lord that took you out of Egypt. You have to say that every day, all the days of your life. So what does it mean, all the days of your life? Why didn't the Torah say you should remember yemei chayecha, the days of your life? What does all the days mean?
Maybe after you're dead, up there, they're
what's that?
Learning it.
All the days?
All the
day. So you have two options. One is
night and day.
Night and day. That's what the first option is. He says, the Ben Zoma said, call Yemei Chayecha. Yemei Chayecha Hayamim. The days would say be days, Yamim. Call is more than the days, but all the days. Not only day, but you have to say it at night as well. V'chachamim omrim, Yemei Chayecha Olam Hazeh. No. Call Yemei Chayecha. What does that mean? All the days of your life?
Mashiach.
Even after Mashiach comes, we will still be talking about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Okay? Which means, let's just put it in categories. Because at face, we'll get to the Navi in a second. At face value, according to Ben Zoma, will I be saying Yitzhak Mitzrayim after Mashiach? According to the Ben Zoma, according to the first occasion. Wait, one second. Let's answer the question. I have to clarify before you can.
Yes.
According to Ben Zoma, the first opinion, will I be reciting Kriyat Shema?
Because it's the day.
No, Ben Zoma says, Kol Yemei Chayecha HaLeilot.
He doesn't address it.
Kol Yemei Chayecha.
Kol Yemei Chayecha says Leilot. Chachamim say it's Mashiach.
Yeah.
So according to Ben Zoma, will I be saying Yitzhak Mitzrayim after Mashiach comes?
No.
According to the Chachamim, do I have to recite Shema at night, the Yitzhak Mitzrayim at night?
Yeah.
Chachamim. No, they say it's again. Everybody, I'm standing a chart here. I should have made a chart.
Oh, okay. Ben Zoma is at night.
Ben Zoma says it's night, so it's not Mashiach, and they say it's Mashiach. So at face value, it means not night. Okay, that's a big debate. It's a huge debate. Will we recite Yitzhak Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes? Will we care about Yitzhak Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes?
Meaning, will we say the third paragraph of Shema?
Right. Okay. Meaning.
And the whole.
What's the implication of that?
Well, you need to.
Why?
Why do we need to say?
We'll be free.
Will we be so connected to Hashem that we won't need to remember what He did for us then because He's doing for us?
Clarity
that we will have, the connection we'll have to Hashem will be so much closer, so much clearer. We won't need the same constant reminder.
Let's think about it a different way. The redemption that will happen then will be so much greater that it will simply dwarf Yitzhak Mitzrayim to the point where it will be simply not germane, which only tells you something quite frightening.
Yeah.
Right, which means things have to get so bad that the redemption will be so unbelievable that we will say, Mitzrayim, what's that?
Well, if you think about what happened at Hiroshima, and you think about the things we've come up with.
My point is that if you're on that level, it's a little bit frightening. More than a little bit frightening. Okay? And we'll see that in the Gemara in a minute. Okay?
But I thought that was the same. That's what happened in the Yetzias Mitzrayim is a model for what's going to happen.
Exponentially.
Scale.
Right. Big. Even bigger than what happened in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So much so that you won't even remember. You don't have to remember it anymore. Right, that is what the Navi says. Okay, that should scare us. That scares me. That scares me. Because in order to be redeemed, you have to be enslaved. In order to be redeemed times a million, you have to be enslaved times a million. Okay? Right, it's not so good. How's that for
also, that? Only 10% were...
Okay, that's the machloket. This is the essential machloket.
Only 10% of us, maybe, were redeemed.
90%
died. That's very scary.
For the redemption to be so good that I'll say, Egypt? I can't even think about Egypt anymore. That must mean that I have to be at a place where the redemption is going to redeem me from that in such a way. You understand what I'm saying?
We were just saying that
would the Shoah be bad enough?
Yeah.
Kind of hope so. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But the problem with that is the redemption didn't make us forget Yetziat Mitzrayim because it wasn't a miraculous redemption.
Mm-hmm.
It was a natural miraculous redemption. So are you going to look back and say, wow, God redeemed us in such a way? We don't say that. The bottom line is, of course, we with our spiritual glasses see the hand of God through the events that come in through nature. That's the way we are raised. That's the way we view things. But it wasn't like Yetziat Mitzrayim where it's like, everybody sees it. It's obvious to everyone. We didn't see that yet. It wasn't this miraculous.
We mean with the Holocaust, we didn't see it.
Yes, correct. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the Mishnah. I have a very simple question. Let's go on in the Haggadah. Yeah.
So God, this whole debate comes from a word called.
Yeah.
It's so weird because it's like an emphasis every single day of your life.
No such thing in the Torah. It doesn't work that way. That's the word of Gemara, the word of Drash. The word of Drash, they...
It's so interesting, like, from that one word.
Understand they had a Masorah as well.
Right.
It was passed down from Rav to Talmud, and they had a Masorah both in the ways of Jewish and also in the words themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That they gave them, they had the skill, a skill which is completely lost upon us. We have no understanding of this. Correct. Why will that word and why not that word? I would have picked a different word. Right, exactly. Okay? What's that? Exactly, my question. Let's go back to the Haggadah for a second. Go back not to this page, but you go back to the Haggadah, right? They said, Rabotenu Igi Azman Shel Shacharit. Because remember, we're supposed to have the experience, and these rabbis had the experience, okay? If I were to skip this Mishnah entirely, and then what's the next thing in the Haggadah? Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Right? It sort of flows, doesn't it? Let's say I took out this Mishnah. I took it out. Would you think, wait, there's a Mishnah missing here? Would you think that? I wouldn't think that. I would think, okay, right, you have to experience it. Now let's experience it. Where were we? And then Arba Banim, and Echad, you know what I'm saying, the four sons. This Mishnah seems to have been pulled out of the Gemara and Bracha that I showed you, plopped down right in the middle. What's it doing there?
Superfluous.
Well, Zavi's not superfluous.
Yeah.
Somebody inserted it in here. Somebody said, you know, I think we should read the Mishnah and Bracha.
So maybe it's not talking about every day of your life. Maybe it's talking about the Seder.
Or maybe it's talking about the good times or the bad times. Like, when life is good, you need to remember the time.
Uh-huh.
When life is bad, you need to remember the
very good. So that's exactly where I'm going. That this Mishnah is much more than just a Mishnah about whether one must recite the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema at night or not. It's much, much more than that. And that's why I brought you the Gemara that continues, the argument between Ben Zoma and the Chachamim. Because without this Gemara, you don't have any sense of what's really going on.
This one?
And the depth, yeah, the Gemara continues. See the Gemara says in the bottom? Gemara, Tanya. Tanya means we learned it in Braita. Braita means we're continuing the Mishneh discussion. The argument between Ben Zoma and Chachamim continued. Amar lehem Ben Zoma lechachamim. Ben Zoma says to the Chachamim, Mechim is Kira and Yitziat Mitzrayim v'imot HaMashiach. Ben Zoma said, are we going to mention Mitzrayim when Mashiach comes? Are we really going to talk about it? It says in the Navi in Yirmiyahu, Hine yamim ba'im nu'um Hashem, there will come days, so saith the Lord, V'lo yomru od chai Hashem asher he'elad v'nei Yisrael mi'mitzayim. We won't say this is the living God who took us out of Egypt. Ki'im, rather we will say top of the page here. Ki'im, in the middle of the page. See where I am? The middle of the text with the vowels. Ki'im chai Hashem asher he'elad v'asher hevi et zera beit Yisrael me'eretz tzafona. This is the living God who brought us out of the land of the north. From all the lands that I have oppressed you there. Yirmiyahu says, when in the future, we're not going to say, God is great for taking us out of Egypt. We are going to say, God is great for getting us out of the exile. Okay? Meaning, nobody's going to care about Egypt anymore. So why do you say, Kol Yimei Chayecha Lahabid Imot Mashiach, that we can still say it? Amru lo, so they said no. Lo shete akir yetziat Mitzrayim min koma. It's not that we're going to totally uproot, remove the memory of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Elashtei shibud galuyot ikar, v'yitzhak Mitzrayim tafelo. We're going to remember both. We are going to remember Egypt, but we're also more going to remember the redemption from the exiles, the later redemption. So, what's that? Tafel is tertiary, secondary. There's going to be a major redemption and a minor redemption. Okay? So we're not going to forget it. So remember I asked you, according to the Chachamim,
the new one.
Remember I asked you, according to the Chachamim, do they agree with Ben Zomer or disagree? We said, like, according to the Chachamim, I'm sorry, according to...
So we
gave
two
nonsense. No. Right, I asked you, according to Chachamim, Ben Zomer said, why are you going to remember the Imot HaMashiach? And they say, we have to remember the Imot HaMashiach. Mitzrayim will be significant even after the redemption comes. Israel won't be as significant. We're going to remember both. Okay? Kiyotzebo, we have to read on. Kiyotzebo, see where I'm skipping down. Ata Omer, in the second right there, you see. Lo yikare shimcha od Yaakov, ki im Yisrael yiyashemecha. God says, your name is no longer Yaakov, your name will be Yisrael. Lo shiyakir Yaakov mim komo. It's not that we're never going to call him Yaakov, because we see he's referred to as Yaakov later on. Ela Yisrael ikar, V'Yaakov tafelo. Right, Yisrael is your major essence, and you still retain your identity of Yaakov. There's a lot of depth to this, which we're not going to deal with. V'chein hu omer. And it also says in Yirmiyah, Al tizkeru rishono, do not remember the first things that happened. V'kadmoniot al titboninu. And kadmon, that if it happened in earlier times, do not ponder. Altiskeru Rishonot, do not remember the first thing, Zushiu Abud Galiot. That is the Shi'abud. You will not remember the subjugation of the exiles. V'kadmoniot altid bonanu zo yetziat Mitzrayim. And you won't remember, so meaning we're still going to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim, it's still going to be part of our identity. Hineni oseh chadasha ata tzitzmach, I will make something new, now you will grow. Tani Rabbi Yosef zo milchemet Gog Umagog. This is the war of Gog Umagog. Everybody knows what Gog Umagog, the war of Gog Umagog is? What?
Yeah.
In Yechezkel it actually refers to literally the war to end all wars at the end of days is the war between Gog and Magog. The only problem with this war is we have no idea what the war is and what it's referring to. We just know there's going to be this terrible war at the end of days. Really? Who told you that? The sad thing is we live in a time where it's not so hard to imagine. The really frightening thing is that everybody knows what it means.
Yeah.
You know, we know what it means, we just don't know what it means. Anyway, Mashal Lamad Dabadume, what does this refer to? Adam Shahaya Mehalech Baderech, a person who's traveling on the road. Upagabo Zev, and you meet a fox, and he told me, man. Right? Well, this fox is like, you know, a rabid fox, and he gets saved. You guys will never believe I was a fox and I was saved miraculously. Terrific. Pagabo Ariv and he saw me menu. He ran into a lion, Onagad, and he saved. Like, what happened to the fox? Who cares? The lions. Pagabo Nachash. It's interesting. I don't know. I would have thought the lion is worse. But then he meets a serpent and then he saw me menu and he saved from it. Shachach ma'aseh shneihem, he forgot the first two. V'yam esaper b'holech ma'aseh anachash. And he only talks about the snake. Afkach Yisrael. Same is true about Israel. By the way, if you think that these animals are coincidental and the Gemara is pulling them out of the hat, you're kidding yourself. They're all symbolic of... Right, you got to figure out which one. Okay. V'yam esaper b'holech ma'aseh anachash. He only talks about the serpent. Afkach Yisrael. Tzarot achronot mishachkot harishonot. The later troubles make us forget about our earlier troubles.
The problem is that the Yiddish right is in the Torah.
Yeah.
Like the Uber text, I mean, and it's huge problems. It starts in Bereshit, goes all the way through Shmod, it's in Bamidbar, and then it's the aftermath.
Yeah. Says the Gemara, you're not going to forget.
It's the story.
But it will not be the story.
It will not be the story. The Torah will not be the book.
The Torah is the book. But we're not going to talk about it because that'll be a distant memory, a shadow of the redemption.
Well, yes.
It's hard for you to imagine, right?
Impossible.
Right. That's what the Gemara says. That's what they say. It's not that we're going to forget it. Of course, Yetziat Mitzrayim is critical because Yetziat Mitzrayim defines who we are as a people. It was our creation story. Is it really everything? Is it really everything? What is our people today? What is our people today? It was the formative story. But the point of the story was to bring us to a place where we redeemed the world. Did we do that?
No.
Right. We redeemed the world. We were supposed to be, remember, we talked about this in the story of the Eid al-Azahar. The story was supposed to be the story. We receive the Torah, we bring the light of the Torah to the world, and we return the world to its initial position. We bring the redemption of the world. We bring about this closeness between God and the Jewish people.
Well, that's part of our story, but we failed.
We failed.
Yeah.
Okay? In the final redemption, we will not fail. Our existence will be such, I think this is what you refer to, will be such that the world will be so different that the idea of Yetziat Mitzrayim was, yes, that was necessary, yes, that was, but to compare that to where we are now? To compare that to the redemption that we've experienced now?
We're going to have a new book?
No.
Good.
That's not the same.
That's a different religion. You got a wrong religion there.
Exactly. Some more of the allusions to the...
Excuse me, one second. Our problem is, you know what our problem is? Our problem is something that they remember, that they know. That the point isn't where we are here now. The point is to get to there. We want to be redeemed. And we have, you know, Chabad has a point. We want Mashiach now. Right? But we forget, what do we want Mashiach for? We want Mashiach because our mission is to bring the world to this new place. And when we get to that place, we will really look back and say, oh my God, what we had then was just nothing compared to what we have now. Our experience, our reality, our connection to God. It isn't just a building in Yerushalayim. It's not like, you know, it's not that. It's something more, so much more fundamental and significant. You know, like Lahavdil, you talk about religious life. You know what I'm saying? Your spiritual life is fundamentally different here than it was over there. Just fundamentally. And everybody sitting in this room knows exactly what I mean, and I try to describe it to somebody. And I try to explain it to somebody. How do you can't. Right? You have to experience it. You understand? You have to experience it. Now, you understand? So look back and say, oh, yeah, I was religious there. It's just
fundamentally different. But I think you get emotional memory and you get intellectual memory. I think what you're saying, yeah, the intellectual memory will always be there. We'll always remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's in our davening, it's in our Torah, whatever, but it's the emotional memory that you're saying that the second Gula will wipe out, so to speak, the emotional memory.
Correct.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
No, I didn't say it again.
So
I said correct your past. Say it again.
The intellectual memory will always be there. We'll always remember Yetziat Mitzrayim as an intellectual exercise, mm-hmm. even when we have the...
You're saying we won't have a state. I understand. Now it hit me when you're saying, we won't have a...
But the emotional memory, the second one, will override the first one.
So it could very well be that the Seder night will not be about Yetziat Mitzrayim.
So the Yetziat Mitzrayim will be an intellectual experience then.
Right. It defined us
and
as
not an emotional experience anymore.
That could be what the Gemara is saying. I agree. That could be exactly what the Gemara is saying. What?
We'll need a whole new rereading of everything.
You have no all new books.
I think
it's going
to change the whole thing.
Yeah. It has to change. It would have to change. Like, you know, like it's just at the end.
What? Which
is Shana Abba. In the end of, focus on this. In the end of Magid, ends with the bracha. Right, the bracha clearly changed. Our forefathers did not say this bracha, and they couldn't have said it. Because we say, at the very end, we lift our glass and we say, Asher ga'alanu v'ga'ala v'tenu b'mitzayim. V'higianu laila hazeh le'chol ba matzah u'maror. We're not going to say that. What will we say? Le'chol ba Pesach matzah u'maror. That's clearly what they said.
Yeah.
It has to be, right? But, and then look, you see where I am, you follow. Then, and this always strikes me when I say this. There's another sentence in it. It goes on and on. It's a very long bracha. Ken Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Avoteinu. So soon, may God, our God of our forefathers, Yagi'enu L'moadim L'gayim Acharim, may He bring us to new days, We would rejoice in the redemption, in the rebuilding of your city, and we rejoice in your service. Your service where? In the Beit HaMikdash. And we will eat over there from the offerings and the Korban Pesach. We're not going to say that, bracha. What are we going to say?
Make a bracha over the Korban
Pesach. Yeah, we're going to make a bracha over the Korban Pesach. Right? Meaning, in the bracha, of course it's going to change. It has to change. It's going to, the whole focus is going to change, which is part of my theme. Okay? Now let's go back to the Mishnah, because I got to wrap it up, because am I running out of time?
Something that struck me on this Mishnah, because the last thing is the serpent. That's the thing that got us into trouble in the first place. It's like we're going first full circle.
Ooh, the Nachash.
The Nachash.
I got to figure out who the Nachash is. I haven't spent enough time thinking about who the Nachash is. Who is the serpent?
Why would it not be the Nachash from Gan Eden?
No, because it seems to be nations and exiles. Right, Amalek is a Nachash too. Right, correct. Okay, that helps you in the Holocaust theme. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, what's the debate? I have a sense. I want to give you my, what is this Mishnah doing here? Are we maskirin yitziat Mitzrayim ba'leilot or not? And Ben Zoma is the accepted position. What's very interesting is, did you notice in the Mishnah, one line is missing from your Haggadah. What line is missing from the Haggadah that appears in the Mishnah? Compare the two texts. The whole Mishnah is taken, is borrowed, is copied word for word, except for a line. Which line? From here. Right, the whole Mishnah is borrowed except for one line. I'll give it to you because it's kind of easy. No, before Baruch Shanatan. Look at the text. The text right in front of you, right above you, the one, the top one and the second one. Which part of the Mishnah is not taken? The answer is the first line of the Mishnah. Maskirin Yitziyat Mitzrayim Balelo. Right? That's skipped. And what appears in our Haggadah is only the debate. Right? The Psak Halacha is according to who? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Psak, before the debate, does not appear in our Haggadah. Very interesting. All the Haggadah presents is the debate. The debate is what's important. The debate is, must we recite Yitziat Mitzrayim, the redemption, during the night? Remember we talked about the night? The night, the darkness, the night of the darkness. Right? Do we recite Yitziat Mitzrayim during the night, or do we recite Yitziat Mitzrayim only during the day? Do we celebrate, can one celebrate redemption from Egypt when one is in the mires of the exile? When one is in the difficulty of the darkness?
Night is the day of the Mashiach.
Night and day allude to, I think I referred to it also, the night refers to the darkness of the exile, and the day refers to the light that of the shining of the light of God. We said this, we refer to this also in the Yotzer Or Uvre Rechoshech Oseh Shalom Uvre Atakol. Night is a time of darkness, of hiddenness of God, time of faith, time of reaching out to God and not seeing. It's a time of unclarity. Day is the time of revelation, time of explicitness of God. Okay, those are the issues of night and day. It's fascinating. The argument on a theological level is, do we recite Yitziyat Mitzrayim at night? When we are in our exile, we are not our full selves, we are not our true selves. Must we recite Yitziyat Mitzrayim during the night or not? And Ben Zoma said, no. I'm sorry, Ben Zoma said, sorry, yes. And the Chachamim said, no. I will recite Yitziyat Mitzrayim when? During the day. And I will recite Yitziyat Mitzrayim Havidi Mon HaMashiach. When the redemption comes, then Yitziyat Mitzrayim will have its full impact. Because now, in the exile, what is the point of reciting, of mentioning Yitziyat Mitzrayim without, who are we sitting at the Seder? We're free, we're not free, we're a shadow of our former selves.
It's interesting though, when you speak to survivors. You have one of two perspectives. You have those that say, I catch the mitzvos while I was in the concert, mm-hmm. and it kept me going, it was my life. And then there are those that say, I couldn't. It was too painful. How could this be happening to me?
So I'm going to finish it off by saying that I think this paragraph, this maaseh, has special, unique meaning for us in this time that we're in. What are we in, the night or the day? We spoke about this last week. What are we in? The dawn. We're in the, right, that's what they call it. We're in the, what's called the Bein HaShemashot. The part between the night and the day, where it's kind of getting light, you know, there are books about this, written about this, Midrash, about the Ayelet HaShachar, the dawning of the light. Is it nighttime or is it daytime? Do we recite Meskivin Yitziat Mitzrayim or not? Balelot, during this time of darkness or not? So it turns out, I mean, there's a huge argument about when did Mitziat Mitzrayim happen? When did Yitziat Mitzrayim happen? Because remember, what happened? Well, let's go to with your events very briefly. Yitziat Mitzrayim began with Makat Bechorah. Makat Bechorah was at midnight. Okay? But from midnight till morning, what did God tell them?
Pack.
Well, they told them to pack, right? They were supposed to be packed, by the way. When were they supposed to be packed?
Week before.
When? By what time? When you eat the Korban Pesach, you have to pack before 12 o'clock. Even though, v'lotetzu ish mipetach beito ad boker. So you have this period of time between midnight and 6 a.m., when you are packed and ready to go. Don't pack at 3. You're packed and ready to go by midnight, but you still can't leave. There's this in-between time. And there's this huge machloket. What's that? Yeah, that's the third place. What's he supposed to eat? You know, like that's the worst thing ever. Pesach. Everybody's hungry and they're eating potatoes all day. Like, you know, okay. What? Like it's this nishta in nishta air. You know what I'm saying? It's like this no man's land. Is it redemption or not? So there's this huge debate in the Gemara. Did redemption begin at night, or did the redemption begin in the morning when they actually left? And that debate, I think, is part of this debate as well. Maskirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Balelot. Menzoma said no. Even the nighttime is redemption. Even if you can't leave yet, you can still begin redemption. There can still be a process of redemption when you're stuck in your house before you can leave. If you take the steps that are necessary, if you're packed, if you're ready to go, whatever. Okay? If you do those things, even though you know that the actual physical redemption doesn't happen until morning time. And the Chachamim said no. Chachamim said no. Redemption is redemption. The normative opinion was that redemption is redemption. Fascinatingly, usually we say, Yachid b'rabim halacha k'rabim. What do we pass on, like in this case? Maskirin siyat mitzvah balelo. But somehow, even they agreed with him that you have to say it during the night. And this is the story of the Haggadah. This is the story not only of their Haggadah then, especially during the times of darkness, but in our time of Bein HaShemashot, we're like, you know, we've done the Korban Pesach, I did my thing, I packed up my bags, but we all know the day is still not come. So, is it redemption or is it not redemption? The Chachamim say no, but the Halacha says yes. Don't you feel that way? Chachamim say no. The leadership says no, but the Halacha says yes. Stop here.